Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for everyone gathered here. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom and knowledge that we receive during this teaching. We also thank you that we lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness, and we receive your word with meekness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Okay, so we're going to look at something very important in the work that we have as a ministry. And the Lord actually set this meeting up consciously. He set it up consciously. So I'm trying to figure out, or I was trying to figure out what he was saying. And I was just having my morning devotion, just a solemn time. And then I started to see some things as I studied God's word. And even though it was for me, I knew it was not exactly for me. So then I will have to find out what audience is supposed to hear what I have to teach or what I'm seeing. So I almost could figure out this was supposed to be the audience. This was supposed to be the audience. So, what we're going to do is to pay attention to these things I'm going to be teaching you. By the middle part of the teaching, I'm sure we'll have had a title for it. But I still don't have a title for it, surprisingly. So, we are going to be looking at some conversations in leadership. We're going to be having conversations around leadership. And I'm going to be communicating this to you very importantly for our work. The work that we have, right? So this is felt like a camp meeting. I don't know, but to me it felt like a camp meeting because it just kept on, you know, unraveling and unraveling and unraveling. So we're going to look at something very important. Let's turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. And you know, Deuteronomy just flows right on into Joshua. So we're going to have a conversation at the very latter part of Deuteronomy into Joshua chapter 1. And the story of Joshua actually is a very interesting one, because I figured, you know, while I was studying, I was like, okay, that's why a lot of people call their stuff Joshua something something, Joshua something something, because it was so clear. There was so much on leadership in there. And this is Moses' minister or assistant. His name was Joshua. His name was Joshua. And in the book of Joshua, it's almost like they are some campaigns, and there were three major ones, three major military campaigns. And in those three military campaigns were 30 different battles to be fought. So 30 and more, actually. Can you imagine if you have 30 and more battles to fight? And these battles sometimes carry tens and thousands of warriors against themselves. Right? So it wasn't just an easy sale. It was something that was very, 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 very crucial. Right? So, these are three major military campaigns. And in those three major military campaigns are over 30 battles to be fought. And there are very crucial lessons to be learned from Joshua. Very crucial. So, right in Joshua chapter 1, or in Deuteronomy chapter 34, we get to pay attention to how that the Lord had finished with Moses. And he actually did not fulfill all of God's plan for his life. Because what God had spoken concerning him, he could not fulfill. Now, there was another who was supposed to continue what he failed to do. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 34. Verse 4. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him, so that's God, burying him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Now, Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. I will take that verse again. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, so the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, there's something interesting happening in that verse. The people actually are doing what the Lord had commanded Moses. But Moses was absent, actually. Right? Now, that speaks of one thing. It means that Joshua did as the Lord commanded Moses. Right? But then, there's something that's screaming out in these verses, is that God saw Moses as the leader. So, Joshua is continuing the works of Moses. It means that he wasn't going to do anything contrary to what Moses was doing. The people continuing in the vision of Moses as well. So, in this conversation of leadership that we're going to be having, we're going to pay attention. And I'm going to show you, it's right there in the Word of God. So, there is a very key importance of learning to continue in the vision that's given to the leader. But you cannot continue in a vision you have not caught. Right? So there's first a very key importance of getting to catch the vision. Now, actually, in verse 9, you know, oftentimes, when you read the Bible, if more time is spent on meditating on it, you realize that there are going to be quite some depths to what is written. Because it's very clear that Moses did not receive the spirit of wisdom alone. I mean, Joshua did not receive the spirit of wisdom alone, because Moses laid his hands on him. He would have been there with Moses all the time. So, it means that the laying on of hands was something that confers a finalization of the series of activities that he had experienced with Moses. Right? So, he definitely would have been with Moses. Now, we're going to look at something very important, actually. But is it true? Joshua was with Moses. And we'll see that in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. So I said that to be good leaders in whatever space is first to be able to catch the vision. Right? And to continue in that vision. You know, if we see God inspire men to put their accounts down for us in this manner, it means that's how it's supposed to be. Do you understand? Yes, that's how it's supposed to be. It's almost like, this is like, it's not definitely a law first mentioned, but it's almost like it sets the pace for happenings that follow after. Right? So we see an example, and Moses is like an example. We can't take Moses out. You know, you take Moses out, the whole Bible is like destroyed. Because obviously every doctrine and every belief stems from Moses. Right? Yes. So Moses cannot be despised. So if we see the Lord do something with him in a certain manner, there's going to be a consistency of pattern, which is actually true. So God calls Moses, gives him Joshua, right? Joshua is Moses' minister. We're going to see that in Joshua chapter 1. But then we find out that Joshua is continuing in what Moses had done. And pay attention to what verse 9 says. So the children of Israel heeded what him and did as the Lord commanded what Moses. So that definitely means that Joshua did as the Lord commanded with Moses. So they are all able to tell that Moses is the leader. Moses is whom the Lord has chosen, even in his absence, actually, because he was dead. So the people of Israel are actually paying attention to the leader. And they do as the Lord commanded the leader. So it means that in this work, right, we will have to recognize who the leader is. Would have to recognize what the vision is. Who the leader is. What the vision is. And then we will have to continue in the vision. I said this yesterday during the teaching session we had. I said that I think the first person I heard this from was Bible school, actually, Kenneth Hagin. And he said something, I believe that is true. He said, she, not true. But it was very evident that what was being communicated was that they are not as much as cumbersome pioneers as we have as followers. Right? We don't have a lot of pioneers as much as followers. And it's very clear in God's word. You can literally count how many people God has set to pioneer something, to start a move. Right? But God's original plan is that he calls one, then he calls other people to the one. And then collectively, they fulfill the vision that's been given them. Because you know, without the leader, there will be chaos. We can't tell where we're going. I mean, you say, oh, can we move here? So, no, I think we should move here. No, I had a vision 2 weeks ago. Let's go back, rather. Not moving forward, not moving to the side. So, God, in order of preserving orderliness, will have to set out a man. Then he can speak to that man and encourage that man to lead the others. Now, everyone playing their role, or everyone playing whatever role they've been given, will be seen as fulfilling God's plan for their lives. And it's so important that we get to settle this in our hearts. So, Joshua is continuing in the vision of his pastor. That's what's happening. Because Moses was leader. And Joshua was his assistant, or was his minister, right? So Joshua is continuing in the vision of his word, of his pastor. And he teaches the people to do same. You know, it's easy for you to feel like, no, I think Moses has failed. So this is my opportunity to succeed. It's easy to feel like that. He has failed. He clearly actually failed. They called you. You said you were 40 years in a land. They took you another 40 years of training. Joshua would have ranted. You couldn't do what God had called you to do. 80 years you were wasting your life. 80, 90, 20, 100, 110, 120. Still you couldn't do it. It's my time to shine. Right? So, Moses is not that kind of a leader. So, this is Joshua. And he's not usurping the place of his leader. He knows his place. And he teaches the people to follow the commandments or the instructions that were given Moses. He speaks as though Moses speak. He understood what the Lord wanted to do with the people of Israel. He leads the people as he sees Moses leads the people, or as he saw Moses lead the people. He ensures the vision is trickled down. It moves through him and it falls on the others that are beneath him. He understands the vision. He lifts it. And you know what? I can tell you, pay attention, that Joshua was indeed full of wisdom. You know, he would have been unwise to want to start something again that God is not starting. And he would have been accounted to be unwise if he wanted to do what he wanted to do by his own terms, his own method, going about it his own way. Wisdom is in following your leader. That's the spirit of wisdom. That's the spirit of wisdom. That's the spirit of wisdom. He was full of it. He was full of it. Aaron and Miriam were not full of it. And that's why they tried to usurp whoever it is that they've been given. The same Moses guy. Looks like Moses has a mark on his life. So his wisdom to know your leader, is wisdom to follow your leader, is wisdom to continue in the vision of your leader, is wisdom. I didn't think I'll be going to 1st, 2nd, but let's do something in 2nd Timothy. Chapter 3, verse 10. 2 Timothy 3. Verse 10. is wisdom. You know, sometimes you can find somebody, you know, who sort of lacks wisdom. And you know that when the person actually does not follow the leadership, you know they lack wisdom. It's just a lack of wisdom, actually. Yes, a lack of wisdom. When you see somebody who does not follow well, it means the person does not have wisdom. You know, I went somewhere, I think I was with Pastor Prince, and then Prophet Gilbert, mentioned names, was around. And he actually called a few of us, I mean, all of us who were pastors, to go eat somewhere. So we finished eating, and I never said a word. So I was just standing with Pastor Prince, and then he was also standing there. You know, and I was amazed. I actually mirrored composure, number one, because I could have easily said, oh, yes, sir, when Pastor Prince was with me, right? But I never did that. In fact, I went behind Pastor Prince, and I never said a word. And I never gave any, what do you call it? I never sort of like tried to usurp Pastor, go say hi to some other person. I never did that. I was standing there, and he spotted me at the point, and I was still standing because I wasn't going to go past the one who had brought me. So I remember I just tapped Pastor Prince, and I said, could you, he was standing like, I could literally tell him myself. I said, could you please tell Prophet that I said I was very grateful for the food he had given us. But at that point in time, he also started just taking a few steps away. So he said, oh, you want to actually say hi to him? And I said, yes, I would have wanted to say hi, just to say thank you to him. And he said, oh yeah, I knew you are always... He used the word hiding in the background, so that's why I didn't introduce you to him. Yes, so he felt, I've always known you, like you're always hiding in the background. You never want to go in front. And I was like, but at least I wanted to say like, thank you. And I was like, okay, that's fine. Then the whole thing actually ended. But what I'm trying to help you see is that I was not going to go behind the one I was supposed to be recognizing in the place as the leader. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's wisdom. I was actually lying here when I was thinking about it. I was like, that's really wisdom. Do you see that? Yes, that's wisdom. So there are times where you are going to be pushed to act unwisely. Right? And you know how wise you are when you can stay under. You can stay under. It's very clear. Can't you see it there? That he was actually full of wisdom. And he led the people, instructed the people, led the people, taught the people in the ways of Moses. He commanded them to do the same things that Moses had taught. He's not going to have his own name. Many of you only know the leadership part of me. Like many of you know only the leadership part of me, but you don't know the other part of me. Yes, I can be very under and not be worried at all. It's true. So in 2 Timothy, Paul lays something that I think we should pay attention to. He says something about Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 verse 10. But thou hast fully known my what? My doctrine. Thou hast fully known. It's not halfly known. Thou hast fully known. Now the word known there, let me give you the Greek word and then explain that to you. It's the word para. K-O. L-O-U-T-H-E-O. Parako Leotheo. Who sees Paraclet? Parako Leotheo. Right? Yes. It means, this is what it means, to follow as one, to be always at his side. To follow as one, to be always at his side. It's like Paraclete. He's called to be with you side on side. Right? Is the word fully known to its entirety? It means also to follow faithfully. It means also to follow faithfully. To conform oneself to. Right? So, you're right. What do you call that? Right on the side. You know, when somebody is right on your side, they are available, right, at your call. Right? So, right on your side. Seen always with. Yes. So, Paul is saying that Timothy has always been at his side, following. He has fully been there, always been there, not halfway. You know, at a point in time, we're trying to find him or we're trying to teach him something and he doesn't know. He doesn't know of his manner of life. But Timothy, he doesn't know of his sufferings. But that's something that Timothy knows fully. Fully. So, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. It means the things that I teach. Did Joshua do that? Yes, because he definitely led the people to follow Moses' commandment. He fully was aware. He knew. He was not confused about who his leader was. The teachings. Moses was actually a teacher. He was a prophet, but he was a teacher. I mean, how do you speak, communicate without being able to elaborate? Yes. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's a book of teachings, actually. Splitted out teachings. So he was a prophet. And a prophet is a teacher, actually. Yes. Then there are different types of prophets. Different types of prophets. Prophets who are exclusively teachers. They bring to you the counsel of God's word. So, Moses was a prophet. Joshua was his servant. We're going to look at that shortly. But Joshua is doing everything that Moses has already set down. You know, in your discipleships, wherever you find yourself, whatever it is that you do, make sure you keep at the same thing that has been given you. Thou hast fully known my doctrine. I was at a place and then I was like, wow. Anyway, that's just by the way. So thou hast fully known. You have always been there on the side, learning. So now you know. You know my teachings. You know my manner of life. Manner of life. My conduct. My manner of life. the trainings, the disciplines. There's a manner of life. But Timothy, you know them. Joshua definitely knew them. You have known my manner of life. You have known my purpose. You know, when you say something is purpose for something, it's set for something, set aside for a specific thing. You have known that. You've known the reason why God called me Paul and gave me a ministry. You have understood that very fully. And the same things that I've received, the same I've committed to you, the same commit them thou to faithful people. Who shall be able to teach others also? That's Joshua. Going in the commandments of Moses. The same way it ought to be done. You know, you will have to learn consciously to be an exact prototype of your leader. An exact individual that communicates the vision of your church. So important. Exact. He's not giving you anything else, like he's not giving a vision. Everything that you will do is in the vision. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is in the vision. That's what it says. Imagine Joshua calling the people and saying, you know what? Tabernacle worship will not have it at 5 a.m. in the morning. We're going to have it at 10 p.m. in the evening. That's not continuing in what you've been given. You know, I think it's the commandments of Moses are too grievous. What is thou shalt, everything thou shalt, 10 million ones, over 613 other laws. Are we supposed to be compliant by all of these 613 all laws? 10 as me. What's that? Please. Joshua. I am Joshua. The Lord has called me now. The Ten Commandments, obey just 4. And then the 6, we'll find something else to do. Nope. The same, right? So thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long suffering. The things I've suffered, things I've been patient with, the things I've endured, my faith, my beliefs, my conviction, my charity, my love, what makes my heart beat. Timothy, you have understood it. You've even understood my persecutions, my afflictions. You understood all of these things. And you associated yourself with all of those things as well. Because Timothy was not that guy who was going to just be away when he realized that everything was not good. Right? So, thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecutions, my afflictions. So I said, the laying on of hands definitely would have communicated that as well. But I'm telling you, majority of the things that he would have learned was because he was around. That's all. So that's why you should always be around your leader. Because there are things to learn. Now let's get into Joshua chapter 1. So three major campaigns, over 30 different battles to be fought, many victories to be won. The Lord glorified them all. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. So, what is the first emphasis we've established? What are we emphasizing? Our first emphasis that we have established is that what? You know your leader and you continue in the vision. Great, right? All right, so let's continue. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. The son of Nun. Moses' what? Minister or assistant. After Moses' death is when the Lord finally speaks to Joshua. Joshua, you're not the leader. And you know, sometimes as we grow, and as many of you grow in the things that you have been taught, the gifts of the Spirit, hearing, seeing, knowing, you might feel God speaks to me too. God speaks to me too. I have visions too. I hear from God too. I'm also sharp too, because it's going to happen definitely. But it's dangerous. God knows his leader. It's dangerous. So, we must know. Many of you are going to be growing in wisdom, practical wisdom. Right? And you say, no, but why shouldn't it be done like this? Now, God speaks to us definitely. But concerning the vision, he doesn't speak to you. He speaks to all of us. Concerning the vision, he doesn't speak to you. When he finds the vision, he knows who he should speak to. He doesn't speak to you concerning the vision. Now, he could speak to you concerning the vision, but the fact that you have something that you know about the vision does not mean the leader is not aware of what he has already spoken about. The leader should have been aware, right? Yes. So, after the death of Moses, the Lord is now speaking to Joshua. So, that's to establish that God will not surpass Moses and speak to you, Joshua. He was not going to do that. And I'm very certain about it. Because why then does he choose a leader? That's going to be some chaos. If God told somebody something that he's not told the leader, like you're telling me something God told you that I'm not aware of, that's going to be chaos. Right? So, God speaks to the leader. He leads the leader so the leader can lead the people. He leads the leader so the leader can lead the people. So, I also hear from God too. I understand the mysteries of the epistles. God talks to me. The last time I even showed me something. had this dream. Let me tell you one shocking thing. If God calls you with a man, many times he reveals things to you about, he reveals things to the man about your life that he does not reveal to you. He reveals things to the man that he has not revealed to you. So, he leads us all, yes, undisputedly. Right? Especially when it concerns the vision, and it's going to directly affect the vision. It's true. So, here's Joshua. Joshua is a wonderful minister. Moses' minister. Moses' assistant. Moses' leaders. Or leader amongst leaders. Because Moses had actually some more leaders. They were actually 70. There was a guy called Eldad and Medad. They were also part of those people who received the spirit that was upon Moses. So Moses had other leaders. But Joshua was that leader that was closest to him. Right? So he was a minister to Moses. Now, it wouldn't just mean that he was only executing ministerial duties. Nope, he wasn't. You would not be smart to think that that's what's happening here. He literally ministered to Moses in every sector. I mean, in every sector of Moses' life. So he was there when Moses needed water to drink. He was there when Moses needed food to eat. He was there when Moses had something to do. He was just always there. He was Moses' minister. It's almost like, you know, Elijah and Elisha. Elisha ministered unto Elijah. They called him Elisha, the one that doth pour water on the hands of Elijah. So he was a literal servant waiting to be given a responsibility. Always there. That was who Joshua was. So, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of man, and he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant, there is dead. The one you were servant to and minister to is dead. Moses' servant, Moses' assistant. Now, he also had to make sure, definitely, as Moses' assistant, Moses' servant, Moses' minister, that Moses was fine. Right? Moses was fine. Moses was fine. He had to make sure Moses was fine. Now, fine would not only just mean maybe he is okay physically, as that also plays a part. That's also inclusive. But, you know, a leader is not going to be fine when the vision is dying. No. The leader is not going to be fine when the vision is dying, when the vision is not alive, when the vision is not on fire, when the vision is not multiplying. So, what that means is that if you see to it that whatever role and responsibility that you are given is executed well, that's making me fine. That's making Moses fine. Because then Moses wouldn't have to carry a lot of weight. Moses is servant. Moses is not just the man. He's the man, he's the mission, he's the vision. So, he's the man, He's a mission. He's a vision. Joshua makes sure that Moses, the man, the mission, the vision, is what? Is fine. He has it on his heart. He has it on his heart. He does it as he's been given. He says it as it's been said. I remember a story. Bishop Baxter, he was actually speaking to his singer, and he said, he looked at her very quietly. Do you know I can remove you? And she was quiet. Yes, I can remove you. If you don't do it, I can remove you. That's actually true. Because that's not making him fine. Eh? That's not making him fine. No, he didn't actually want to remove it. He just cited or used that example. So, when you do what you have been told to do, then the leader is fine. Now, if the leader is fine, it means that God is fine as well. Because then it will mean that you are fulfilling the mission and the vision that God has given. So Moses is the man. The mission is the vision. To make sure the man is fine, to make sure the mission is fine, to make sure the vision is fine, is Joshua's responsibility. You know, let me spread this out very beautifully. I don't believe the work of the ministry can be done without prayer. I don't believe that. So when I ask you, are you praying? And you tell me, no, you are not making me fine. And it means you're not making God fine. It means that the man is going to struggle, the mission is going to struggle, the vision is going to struggle. If I ask you how your walk with God is going, then is I don't really. How you raise other people? And how you going to be an example to others? Yeah? How you going to do that? Now, I realized something even about intercession quite recently. And it was outstanding what I recognized. I had a few people praying about something. And in about 15 minutes, the thing was dealt with. Yeah. In about 15 minutes, it was dealt with. In about 15 minutes, the thing was dealt with. So then I got to discover, okay, it means that what it takes one to do, it will be much easier having other people doing the same thing. So, I recognize if I want to get something moving at a faster rate, I could spend some time praying about it alone. But however we had six more people praying about the same thing, it means it's going to be more easier. The work is going to be more faster. We're going to be more efficient. I've recognized it. Ordinarily, it will take you quite some time to be able to deal with it. And in less than 15 to 20 minutes, I should believe, the thing had been sorted and settled completely. So then I got to say, okay, it means that I have to get more prayer teams. Not everybody can stand in that place. There's a hearty place that's needed for dealing with these things when they arrive. There's a hearty place. Now, to get to identify the people with that heart means that that thing will happen. Much speeding is going to happen. So imagine if every one of you is praying for me. I realize this. I pay attention to a lot of things, I'm telling you. I realize that there was a time I was in Kumasi. And I think I'd given an instruction, or they had made a decision. It was one of them. I think you guys had made a decision to pray the whole day for me or something. And around the clock. Boy, I've not sensed the anointing that way before. I've not sensed it like that. Yes, I have maybe now. But then I was like, there's something about people praying. There's something. And it was at that point in time, a guy walked to me on the road. I just laid hands on him. He fell on the roadside. It was during that point in time. So then I got to understand, oh, okay, that's why men of God pay people to pray for them. Because it works, actually. It works. Yes, it works. You think it doesn't work? It works. Yes, it works. Yes. And it's even much more effective when the people have a heart for you. It works more effectively. So it means what one person can do, we can be able to accomplish more if more have the same heart and more are connected in the same manner. We can have the result. So what maybe I'll spend a long time praying for and dealing with. If I had 20 people, we could spend a relatively shorter time dealing with that issue. So that's to say, it's very important to pray for your leader. You must consciously set time aside to pray for him, as he prays for you. As he prays for you. So this is Moses, the leader. He says, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over to this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. I'm not going to go into verse 2. We're still on Moses' minister. I mean, when I read, I was like, there's so much in here. Moses' minister. So, Joshua is serving. He's an assistant. We're going to look at about 22 or maybe 21 or 23 practical things that you should do when you find yourself a minister in the similitude of Joshua unto Moses. It's very important. Very important. So God is going to help you in Jesus' name. Amen. To be able to be effective. An effective minister in the similitude of Joshua unto Moses. An effective minister unto Moses. That's why I said, you lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness, and you open, receive with great meekness the engrafted word of God. And what will happen is that it saves your soul. It saves your soul. Moses' minister. Willing. Available. All the time. Accessible. Open. all the time. Willing. 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 Jesus. Jesus. So, Moses. Minister. Make sure the vision is fine. Make sure the man is fine. Make sure the mission is fine. Sharing the body. Look, for example, when we get into meeting, and you see empty seats, who doesn't need you? You just look around and just, okay. Or it does something to you. That's sharing in the room. That's sharing. I remember telling sorry, no, I feel sorry, no, I said, sometimes the reason why it was like my earnest desire, it is actually to be able to reach every single individual and know them intimately and personally is my desire. Because sometimes I don't know if you are reading the people well. I'm not too sure. I'm not sure if you are having a heart for them the way I do. But it's shame. And if it's there, I believe it is, it's going to get more dense. So, sharing with the building is also you, everyone. A minister unto Moses, who happens to be a man or the man, who happens to be the mission, who happens to be the vision. And it's so important. It's so important. And Joshua, I mean, yes, he also, but he must have been some good guy. Because Moses was top, like he was top notch. Everybody looks to him. For anything to happen, everybody looks to him. So if we found Joshua, it means that he was good. I mean, we would not be able to compete whatever it is that we had as a discussion, but we're going to continue as the time we are. Because there's just so much, because you will have to look at Joshua before, then until he becomes a leader. Because he's right there with Caleb, who happens to be sent as spies to view the land. They came back with good reports. That's Moses' ministry. So, he's an example. A great example. You're going to be great examples.
Amen.
Careers. The man, the mission, the mission. You can say that. The man. Burn with the same burn with the same nature. They shouldn't look at you and see something other than what they see in the minister.
And it's going to trickle down. If everybody catches it, it's really, it's going to pass on to the people here. Because they see me, they see the same, they see me, they see the same, they see me, they see the same, they see me. Everybody sees me the same. Everybody preaches, teaches, explains the same. Everybody expands the same. Everybody is the same. Everybody acts the same. The doctrine is the same. The manner of life is the same. Conviction is the same. Not that you're trying to defend yourself. This is the same. Just try. So, as an assistant, as a minister, there are a few practical things that I want to discuss with you that you have to learn how to do. Don't look around. Come with them. And that's because we are supposed to set the tone for our solemnities. I said this yesterday during my evangelism session. I said that many times a man produces his tribe. It's true. So when you see that a man is dedicated, I have given, he produces a sin. Even if it is one person, you see that politician. See, do you see that politician? If a man is loyal to the leader, he's going to produce the same people who are loyal to the leader. Because he's loyal to the leader. You understand? I remember a time, I think the Lord was trying to tell me, cut off this person. Because you know why? They're going to produce after their kind. It's like HIV AIDS. Share to your kind. So if you don't stop it, it proceeds to other people and then you start producing other kinds of things. So when you see a rebellious person, he will produce rebellion, multiplies rebellion, because that's what happens. That's, he's that kind. So if there's an offspring in your country, he's going to produce the same kind of person, and it's going to continue like that. That's why we have to make sure that in our discipleship groups, we do everything the same, we see the same, we lay the same thing, we are firm on the same thing, we know our leader is firm. And sometimes you might say, oh, you know, Pastor doesn't really understand, but I always understand that this, we can consider this very health-wise. So, if we're going to be having good kinds, we're going to be good examples to people. So, a dedicated man will do it. Will produce what kind of men? A loyal man will produce loyal men. Yes. A committed man will produce committed men. So, a tribe increases. Whether we go on, when we say may your tribe increase, it means more of your kind. Let them come. Let them increase. Let them multiply. Moses is a minister. Joshua. So sometimes you can even see in the local church, there are kinds in the local church. There are kinds. You see, that when a group of people walk, as soon as I see it, and they match quickly. They match quickly. A good kind, they match quickly. a bad kind. You see, they match with you. I'm telling you something. They match with you. So when I see it, I'm like, wow, this thing is really true. And what I'm telling you, I've not heard it anywhere. It's just the wisdom of God. I see that, no, this is a kind. So sometimes, one time, I remember I was walking somewhere, and I think he went somewhere. And I saw two people walking together very happily, and I said, oh, they're kind. He doesn't know, I'll have to separate. So that I'm trusting that an attachment to a good kind, there's going to be more influence on a good kind. But you also don't put a good kind, a bad kind, to not too good a kind. Because the bad one actually affects the good one. So there's a stronger influence of good that needs attachment to the bad. Then there can be an influence from the good to the bad. So there are kinds that will have good. Moses, Minister, Joshua. You teach your people to honor their pastor. And they see you do it. You do. Kind. So they are kind. Even in the ministry, they are kind. That's why maybe someone who's hurt, another person who's hurt, they become very close. Is it kind? This one, unlike those, do not attract. It's like those.
Beauty that is very beautiful, success for us.
So, is it a fair? So, I want you to pay attention to your research groups. See what kind of men you are using. In the meantime, I remember I was telling someone, I said, you know, when you do something, when you do something, you don't exhibit the right character, you don't exhibit the right behavior, you don't speak rightly, you don't carry yourself around rightly. It falls back on you. I was telling you guys, our first time meeting, we went to the first time to where I sent a lot of you, the complaints to me from. The people are very disorganized, they don't come up with their rooms early, they don't leave the place early, they don't. You know what that translates to? It translates to my kind. Even though at that time we had not started to disciple them. But I'm still going to take them. Even if it was 2 weeks. Because if it was 2 weeks, you're supposed to, whatever, you're supposed to teach the people right way now to be there at the kind. And to act rightly. So that's your kind. That's your kind. You don't go out. You don't sleep. You don't do this. Time where prayers are going on, someone is brushing the teeth. They are running here. The complaint is just too much.
gotten better over the years. But there's still more room for improvement. Because there's a time. I want to go back share something. I was so blessed. And there was a time with Anakazu, Reverend King, last year to Anakazu. And he said they used the place, he left the place. And their bishop actually called Reverend Gilbert. And you know what he said? He said that was the church that had actually kept the place. They said they did not see it before like that. They did not see it like that. Sent the name of the church to other deciding people. Just make sure that they highlighted Yakal House, because Yakal House was a mother, like, he's the one that brings you. There are other churches there, but obviously. And we told them that because of how they kept the place, they were ready to give them a discount. Because no church, they've not seen some before. Now that seems very highly of this. Rather than you broke toilet seats, you didn't flush, you did this, you did that, the whole place messed up, you left the place and you left. They say don't bring what sachet water. Sachet water everywhere. So it blessed me. Although he said, I'm not even saying it, he said, blessed me. What church is that? They've not seen something. Since they started giving the place, they've not seen something before. That's why something comes. So, we're still on. Moses, minister to one. I mean, Joshua, minister to one. Moses. Or Moses, or Joshua, Moses' minister. So we will have to pay attention. Right? Pay attention. I believe strongly that we're going to get better. Every ministry that you see doing very well, they didn't start like that. If you even look, we are even doing well. There's no comparison here. I read a post by Reverend said something. He said that. He said he can't be a part of during this time, the social media, there was not so much social media. Because the thing they did, if it went on social media, it would not be good. It will not be good. And it will not be good at all, because I know some of the things that happen. Oh, we are. It will not be good at all. I mean, there was view over the roof. Without wisdom, definitely not zero with wisdom. So there's still more room for improvement. Joshua. Moses is. Don't forget, his wisdom to follow your leader as he follows. So we're going to look at some very important practical things to be done as ministers. Whether you are a whatever God wants you responding is very important. Joshua and Moses is not Joshua called by God. Not Joshua, the anointed of Elohim, El Gibor, Yeshua HaMashiach. Joshua, Moses, he came. Joshua, Moses, so it's very important that we become good Joshua's. I believe once we even talk about this, I'm sure we'll be fine for a start. I mean, we keep having a conversation. Learn to make mention of your pastor often. Means that in your teachings, your preachings, your counselings, you make favorable references. Joshua was like an ambassador of Moses. Yes, Moses was saying, Joshua, go and do this. Then he goes and he does what has been told him by Moses. So that's an ambassador. You represent the man, you represent the vision, you represent the mission. All of them fit together. And you know, sometimes you might want to be your own man. You might want to say it in your own way. Don't be tempted. Teaching you how to be wise is wisdom, doesn't it? So you make mention of your pastor often. So, that's fine. You make mention of your leader often, every time. Are you going to do that? You know that some people, when they go out, they don't want anybody to know that that's my master. It's very young. I was like, when I went to the pastor's meeting at Yaka, I was the youngest, maybe. So I didn't know whether to disappear. But I remember the Lord told me. It's like he was trying to rebuke me. Like, I'll slap your hands. This one, I remember that. No. It's nice your views. So, I just wanted to just I just didn't know what to do. And then the Lord said, no. So I sat straight and I was confident. And I'm anointed. Believe it or not. I'm anointed. I'm not saying it to you so that you know. I know it myself. Yesterday I spoke to somebody, no, some days back. Her mother had not been married for 13 years. I prayed with her. I didn't really pray with her very serious. I just thought she should be a good girl. I don't know how, but I met her yesterday and she told me someone from nowhere called the family and asked for her number. And she was asking me whether she should call. And I said, go ahead and call. We wanted something to know about your mom. That's what I said. I think that she'd be 13 years, 19 years old. She was young when her mother disappeared. They didn't know where she went to. They didn't know anything about her. And I didn't really like pray for her. I didn't really pray. I just held her hand and I prayed. And I told her where her mother was. We are yet to confirm that. But I told her where her mother was. I told her that her mother is here. I was speaking to this someone yesterday, and she was actually not feeling well. And I was about to lay hands on her, and the Lord said, no, don't lay hands on her. I said, why? She said, as you speak, she'll be healed. And truly, while I was speaking to her, she said, nah. I didn't allow her to talk. I said, you are healed, aren't you? She said, yes. Just listening to me. I was about to lay hands on her, and the Lord said, no, I shouldn't touch her. I should just be talking to her. While I see to her, she was doing it. I believe God very much. I'm not saying this because I'm trying to sound proud. No, I'm just saying this because I know that it's true. I'm sure. I'm very sure. Well, there are things that, you know, obviously, that test your faith, that push your faith, that do this. But all in all of these things, they're still a reality. I'm a student. So, Joshua, Moses, 7. Joshua, Moses, 7. Number 2, genuinely admire your head. Genuinely admire your head. Genuinely admire your head. And speak well of him. It means there's that hearty adulation of who God has given you this day. It's there. It's there. It's there. So it's very important. It's very important. It helps you see God's ways. Because what you don't really admire, you really cannot receive. There has to be a depth of admiration. You know, I strongly believe that, aside from everything that God does in my life, I believe He uses admiration to help you receive. Because when I admire something like this, I really admire it. You know, you can't have a pastor if you don't admire a pastor. You admire somebody else's pastor, you admire some pastor somewhere else, you should admire somebody else. Why should you be there? You should go there because you'll be able to receive more. Do you see that? Sorry? Like, to adulate. I think I should remove the crown, yes. Grace, what does it mean to adulate? Has it skipped you? Yes. So that is something that you have to do, right? Is that a third point? Next point? Third point? Okay, like third point. So do not become a receiver of complaints. Do not become a receiver of complaints. You know, if you are a rallying point for other people to complain to, you yourself, you are a very bad minister. But I'm not judging, but your word says it is true. Aaron was a very bad minister. Yes. You were told him to take care of the people. I'm just going up Moses to the mountain to come. You have already told them to gather their earrings and gather them, and you molded a cow and you all started worshipping the cow. In Moses' absence. And you denied it openly that you never in your left life you don't know what happened. Right? So you are going to. Are you going to do this? So that's what happens, right? Right? That's right. That's right. You must find genuine excuses for any lapses in your person. Yes, you must find genuine excuses for any lapses in your head. You know, as powerful as God is, your man of God, your man of God is still man. Right? I can say this, but you can't say this. I can say I'm man, you can say I'm man. For you to say, I am man, is for you to say, I am making mistakes, and I have made mistakes. And that's not for you to say. So I can tell you that I am man. You can tell me that I am man. I can tell you. I should tell you. Right? You know some people say, I can't process make mistakes. They are also men. That's stupid. He is supposed to tell you that. You are not supposed to tell him that. You understand? You are not being wise. When you say, pastors are also men. They are also men. They can also make mistakes. No, that's not for you to say. You see, there's things you should not say. Some things you shouldn't say. You shouldn't come out of your mouth. It's not for you to say. It's not for you to say. It's for you to watch and you keep quiet. It's not for you to say. It's not for you to say. When you see somebody who is like that, genuine grace of God, the grace is genuine, there's a wrap of carefulness, there's an intentional life that they live. It's almost like a consecration to something. And one of them you will not find is looseness or locatiousness. There are some things you shouldn't say.
Don't say that about your pastor. Don't say that about another pastor. It's not even about your pastor or some other pastor. Just don't have them on your lips. You all know the story of Miriam and Aaron. He rose up against Moses. And these were not physical fights, they were just words. And the Lord visited them angrily. So there are things you shouldn't say.
So you really learn how to find genuine lapses. For example, maybe I was supposed to, I said, okay, maybe I'll go and see somebody, right? Then I wasn't able to go see the person. Then the person calls you and tells you that, oh, the person says he's going to come and see me, right? And he didn't even come. Last week, he said he was going to come, he didn't even come. Last 3 weeks, he said he was going to come, he didn't even come. Last 4 weeks, he said he was going to come, he didn't even come. Hey, Pastor, Pastor, he didn't come. 4 weeks now, he hasn't come to my house. I told Pastor, hmm. And you foolishly joining them the last time.
You joining on the ladder. Oh, Pastor, yeah, we know him, he doesn't come to our house.
He didn't mean the last time, because I said he was going to come, but he didn't come. The last time I gave birth, I said, you said he was going to come. My naming ceremony, he didn't come. I thought, but he never comes, he never shows up. Well, why it's in my integrity to keep my word? It's not in your integrity to question what it is that's happening. It's just wisdom. So you want to say, Jesus is really busy. So I believe that's why he's not showing. But I trust that he's not sure. In fact, he has even put me in a state. That's why I'm talking to you now. So me talking to you is like, there was one of you, I think it was Shady Martina. Something happened, and the person called him and was complaining. She said, the fact that you are talking to me, you are talking to us. Because Pastor made me disciple about you. Right? Rather than joining. I mean, you also just snare something on your pastor. You snare something on your pastor. And then what happens is that the person now feels like you are like Jerry. You're the best. Whatever it is. Your pastor rebukes somebody. And you are not going to console your person. The pastor will give some prayers. Forgive Pastor because he didn't know. For you are not consoling someone that I have. Abuse, strip off, you are not going to console. If you should have conversations, you can have conversations. But you shouldn't have conversations centered around whatever it is that's happening. You can have, oh, how was your food? So, what do you think about what Pastor said? What Pastor did was good. It's like the people who were gossiping about my manager, they gathered themselves and they came to me. Because they said I was a man of God. So they come to buy me in. Nope, you don't buy me. I'll see smart for that. Means I think just accord the steps to you and they get you into trouble. But when you are wise, you know how to exempt yourself out of the trouble and let them have their trouble. So I just told them, yeah, what you did was wrong. You reported him to the manager. Even though he looked like his things, he was right. Loyalty is to the highest authority, period. So I now will counsel you how you have to go and apologize. I'm giving you a reason. Go and apologize to the manager. don't come to me. Leave me out of the picture. But you bind me into your conspiracies. Well, I won't say that to you, but I'm very conscious of that. Because head people always smell their head to everyone. They want to have everybody getting into their boat. Yeah, I was telling someone, I said, you are speaking to someone who is head. She's telling you the church, this is the only church, this. She questions church. She's head because of formal, whatever. She said, I said, no, that's the wrong person to say. Even if she said she was going to come to our church, we will not accept it. Because you are coming to spread bitterness among the people. Now, as a smart pastor, I won't allow you. I say, no, you just go back to your church. What we are building is not supposed to be infected. You go back to your church. Go and be fine. When you are fine, you can come. But don't find yourself in a certain way and you want to come and speak to us. And you want us to now say, oh, you're a pastor. Yeah. So many times you watch people who are bad, you know, things to say about their previous pastors, about their previous churches, they will repeat the same thing, I'm telling you. They will repeat the same thing. They're about to repeat. They're a time bomb waiting to happen. So don't have bad testimonies about where you came from or where you are. It's a wrong thing. You're going to repeat it again. So you speak well of where you came. Don't say, speak well. Even when you know that, this place is a bonfire, but what was happening there was very serious. He said, yeah, but the music was good. At least just talk about the good music. Don't talk about pastors, don't talk about pastors' wife, don't talk about pastors, pastors' auntie, pastors' this, pastor dusters, pastor dusters, my pastor is here, he has said this, he has done that. Yeah, but don't do that. Are you listening? Don't do it. The church of God is beautiful for every situation. God's plan is beautiful for every situation. He never throws them on his plan. He never does that. Never does that. No matter how faulty his plan is, he still likes it like that. Some of you are in love. And you see certain things, but you still like them again. The message.
The one who is saying is a message is the one we are supposed to call out.
It's a message. So find genuine excuses for your lapses. You see it far and say, hey, so it comes to your mind. But I still laugh. That's the vibe. And it's not wrong. That's actually the power of love. See things that are so lost. So, anything wrong? Just take what you can manage. And you manage it. So, if you are picking, you take what you can manage. Every picking is. Is managing to do. Yeah. Every picking is a picking. With management to do. Everything is management. Okay, about all these people who are telling you, oh, that's good. It's like 50 years, man. I'm not sure. Let me not go into it. It's not true. A lot of management and not care. Plenty. Management of issues. So don't let anybody deceive you. Tell them your pastor said nobody can deceive you. I was watching. I don't know how God has made me. Quite recently, something changed. I'm able to notice things that I'm seeing. Lord, don't let me notice it. I was watching the TV. Who was that? Was I watching with you or with somebody? I was watching a video. And the souls were singing.
and then I don't want to play it, so I'm not sure. It's like a common video, and then the back, the beautiful guy, the lady behind me. Well, this is one. Yeah, and I saw on stage there were other singers, but I saw that one. Yes, I read one last thing. Very common choir groups. If you are smart, you get it. Common choir groups. If you watch it, there's somebody, while the soloist was singing, a choir, a choral choir, and another kind of choir. I didn't want to see that. So, yeah. Management. What? Yeah. They are management. And it's everywhere. Everywhere there are money.
Everywhere. There's nothing that is awesome.
So what we know, that a lot of me, I see like a lot. But the beauty of it is that you love yourself. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty. There are things to manage, things to control, things to do, and it's good. It's very good. So don't be, but you have, one of the things I'm trusting you for is that you all will have every good thing. Joshua, Moses, what's the next one? Introduce your pastor in an exciting way and make positive or complimentary remarks about everything that he has preached. Introduce your pastor in an exciting way and make positive or complimentary remarks about everything that he has preached or taught. Introduce your pastor in an exciting way and make positive or complimentary remarks about everything that he has preached. Have you got any? Introduce your head or your pastor in an exciting way and make positive or complimentary remarks about everything that he has preached. It's very important. You receive his best all the time if you can do this. You know, when Ben Hing came to Ghana, I went with some of you. Kelly, were you there? And he was pretty good. He said, "Oh, these guys are getting it out of me." And actually, when Bishop Joshua took the mic, he said, "He has been listening to Ben Hing, but he has never heard him like this before." Yes. And he himself, he was trying to tell the people that they are pulling it out of him too much. So you have the best. The best is not dependent on me. It's not dependent on me. I've already prepared. You determine what you receive. I remember going somewhere with just quite recently. I was supposed to minister in a church. And then I remember telling this girl, and I said,
they could have a better feeling if they did this and they did this and they did that.
So a flow doesn't just happen. You can have a conscious recession of a feeling towards you.
It's true.
That's why in our own lives, we are gradually building it up to be what it should actually be. You should have a better person, a more aligned person. It's not dependent on the minister, it's dependent on the recipient. You can have a better Holy Ghost meeting. It's not dependent on the minister. It's not dependent on the minister. If I'm anointed, you are anointed too. And I'm thankful that you don't believe that you are going to be by prayer. Jesus, you. Not because I can't pray for you to receive. It's just because you can't receive for you. So it's very vital that even in our reception, like maybe praying for someone, praying, it works well when they have somebody that feels highly revered. Like you highly revered. It works. So the healing grace best works when an anointed minister is time blessed. So we have to be sure this happens. Don't be mistaken. Every ministry that you see practicing what I mentioned, they have been taught as well. It doesn't just spontaneously happen. It doesn't just continue. It's a function of teaching. Yes. If we go to a meeting and have a Holy Ghost meeting, like, how is it? How good is it? Yes. And every time we can have top-notch meetings like that. Every meeting is at a height. Like it's at a frequency level. It's dependent on the people. The Holy Ghost will move. As long as there are strong desires in the place, he always will. He always will. He always will. What's the next one? Number what? Whenever your head is unable to attend a function, whenever your head is unable to attend a function, you must inform the parties concerned. Whenever your head is unable to attend a function, you must inform the parties concerned that your head had intended to be there himself, but could not make it for very good reason. So, whenever your head is unable to attend a function, you must inform the parties concerned that your head had intended to be there himself, but could not make it. For very good reasons. That means that we'll have to give strong communications that your pastor or your head is constrained by real and pressing schedules. Don't say, oh, I don't know why he didn't even come. That's the impression you must give. Right? Are you going to learn to do this? Because as the numbers go, their posture could be the chances where some of you will encounter situations like this. Because I can't go to anyone's house. I can talk to everybody extensively. You know, what time is that going to pray? What time is that going to pray? The ways of God is quite interesting. You go. When he has given you the people to serve him. When you serve them only without having time for him, you are in trouble again. So I've come to realize the secret of serving the people is him. Just be with him. That's how you can serve the people. I realize that. And I get to realize how important this is every single time, is that he is the focus. Right? He is the focus. As you serve him. He is the people, as you said. But don't forget, your service to the people is a translation of him also being the favors. Don't forget that. Don't say that the people are not really known. Because the people are also very dear to him. Right? So all in all, both are important. You just need to know where to put them. Yes. I remember a time, I think the Lord was trying to tell me that, hey, your prayer, it's okay, go and do the work. I didn't hear that, I didn't see that, I felt he was trying to tell me, I perceived that he was trying to tell me. The work is there to be done, go and do it. The prayer is supposed to be done with the work, not at the expense of the work. Not at the expense of the work. Because if I pray all day for 1 year, that is good. But in that year, who am I disciple? Who am I close? Who am I raised? That is so important. So both are important. Because prayer is more important. Prayer is important. It doesn't only take prayer to do anything. It's not only prayer. The people are also important. Prayer helps well in teaching for the people. The people are also important. I mean, whoever counsels anybody in Kaba, no shabala kapila kapa. 2 hours is done. But your message is speaking before you are speaking in tongues, 2 hours. So it's done. Go. Go and do the work. So you're praying while doing the work. That's when you need to see the interest, because prayer is supposed to make the work easy. That's what happens. Prayer is supposed to make the work easy. So if there is no work, then on what foundation or basis will prayer, you know, be? So prayer will make your easy. Right? So while you pray, you pray. And the work is the teaching and preaching and healing. That's the work. So you see that Jesus will pray, right? So he goes to rest. Now, I'm not saying that the prayer is not work, but I'm just trying to help you see the work also in a certain aspect, so that you don't say only that is what is necessary. You see that? So my responsibility will be to pray and to minister to you in the teaching of God's word. So I was telling someone, I said, the moment I start to do other things, and I leave what I'm supposed to do, it affects what we are supposed to do. So my responsibility is what I'm doing. I'm supposed to pray and I teach. And prayer directly also affects the teaching, because then you'll be able to communicate what you need to communicate, right? Yeah? So when you hear the music, I've heard this million times in grace. You said this and I was the one. You used the exact illustration, the example. All of these things are a function of what is supposed to be. Then it makes them easy. All of these things are prophesying. They are just not calling out people. That's what they are. So, Joshua, always remind the congregation and the people that you are not the main person, and that there is someone above